Right now is we're in a series called A Merry Mindset, and basically that is pretty much talking about the mindset that we have, realizing that when we come into the Christmas season, we're dealing with a lot of people, a lot of different issues, a lot of different things come up. So I realize that most of our mindset, or most of the sins in our life, or most of the things that we do wrong, have to do with the mindset that we have. So the hope and prayer for this whole series is to get our mindset into a point where we can interact with people and be a blessing to them better. So last week we talked about having a mindset of gratitude, and hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving and we're thankful for the people that the Lord has placed in your life, and hopefully there was no fights over dinner or anything like that, and everybody did well and you were a good testimony, a good light to other people around you. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to talk about having a generous mindset, So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with this church, that we can come and sing praises to your name, that we can come and hear your word. Lord, I pray for our mindset, Lord. I pray that we would take every thought captive and obedient to you, Lord. So I pray now as we talk about this issue of generosity, especially coming into the Christmas season, Lord, I pray that you would just prick our hearts and help us to fully understand what it is that you desire from us and desire us to do. I'm thankful again for each person that's here this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would be evident and your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you might remember the Charles Dickens story, A Christmas Carol. Remember that? Okay, there's so many different like renditions of this, but he wrote it in a book and then it became a movie and a play and all this stuff. So the star of A Christmas Carol is Ebenezer Scrooge. And yeah, there he is. And in my opinion, anything that's in black and white seems creepy. So if you want to watch like The Christmas Carol, my recommendation would be Mickey's A Christmas Carol, because the ghosts are just not that scary, okay? But this one, yeah, okay? So here's what happens in this story, A Christmas Carol. It's a miserly spirited old man named Ebenezer Scrooge. He's sitting in the opening scene, he's sitting in his counting room on a frigid Christmas Eve, and his clerk Bob Cratchit is shivering. And, you know, Scrooge will not buy more coal to put to heat the furnace. And his nephew comes in and invites him to the annual Christmas party, and Scrooge doesn't want to go. And then two gentlemen come in and they're asking Scrooge for a generous donation to their charity, and Scrooge does not want to give. And his catch line is what? Does anybody remember? What does he say? Bah, humbug. He does not like Christmas. He does not like generosity. He doesn't like any of those things. So he doesn't go to the party. He doesn't donate money. He doesn't get coal for the fire for Bob Cratchit, his worker. Later that evening, he goes home and he kind of falls asleep, and he is visited by the ghost of his friend and old business partner, Jacob Marley. And Jacob Marley is in chains. Do you remember this? He's in chains and he's like, Ebenezer, I want to warn you. I want to warn you, if you continue on this path of no generosity and greedy, miserly living, you're going to end up like me in eternal chains, okay? Bad theology, just to let you know, okay? So Marley tells him he's going to be visited by three spirits. So he thinks it's a dream or whatnot, and then he goes back to sleep, and then the ghost of Christmas past shows up, brings Ebenezer Scrooge to see like what happened in the past, how he was a fine-looking young man, and there was a girl, and all that. You can watch a movie for that part. So, and basically, you know, shows him what it was like. Then the ghost of Christmas present visits him and brings him to the present, and he's looking through the window of Bob Cratchit's family and didn't realize that they lived in squalor and they had a handicapped son named Tiny Tim. So they're looking in the window and seeing this family. And then basically what happens is the ghost of Christmas future comes, And in the future, Ebenezer Scrooge witnesses all these people saying, like, glad that guy's dead, that old miser. Oh, I'm glad I don't have to pay him back. They're saying all these things. And Scrooge is like, who are they talking about? Who is this horrible person? And the spirit, please tell me who this is. And then what does the spirit do? It brings him to the graveyard, right? And he points with that nasty finger at the tombstone, right? And what does the tombstone reveal? Ah, it's Ebenezer Scrooge. Then he pleads with the spirit, what can I do? How could this not be true of me? And suddenly he finds himself in bed, tucked away, and it was only a dream, but he wakes up and he was so impacted, he throws the window open, starts yelling Merry Christmas, running down the road, throwing money everywhere, buys dinner for the Cratchits, and you know, they have a big party, and here it looks like that. See how much different he looks already? And there's Tiny Tim, and remember Tiny Tim's catchphrase, God bless us, every one of us. So here's what happens, basically. I couldn't talk about generosity without talking about A Christmas Carol, especially around Christmas time. But what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge? His mindset was changed, right? He went from greedy to generous. His mindset was made different. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. How do we have that different mindset? How do we change our mind if we're not very generous? Granted, you're probably not a greedy old miser like Ebenezer Scrooge, but maybe you're not that generous. So do you wait for three spirits to visit you in the nighttime? No, okay? What we want to do is we want to be proactive. We want to be proactive and look to see what the Bible has to say about having a mindset of generosity. And then we want to obey his word so that our mind changes. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn five things from the scriptures that we have to believe in order to have a generous mindset. There's probably more than five things, but this morning we're just going to deal with five things that we need to believe in order to have a mindset of generosity. So the first thing that we need to believe is this. We need to believe that I do have something to give. Notice I'm using like I, because I want you to personalize this. I want you to intake this information, but really personalize it and just say, you know what, this is me. So you have to believe this first. I do have something to give. You might say this, I can't give anything. I can't be generous because I don't have much. I don't have much. That's either a lie that you are believing, or it is what you think is a valid excuse for not being generous. I don't have much. What can be expected of me, someone who does not have much? So two things I want to deal with here. The first is this. If you have something, you have something to give, okay? By the looks of everyone in this room, you have something. So therefore, you have something to give. But maybe for you, the second thing is true. It's a stewardship issue. You've spent so much of your life mismanaging what you do have that you feel that you have nothing to give. Let me say that again. You spend so much of your life mismanaging what you do have so that you feel that you have nothing to give. Maybe you've been blessed with many, many things, but here's what's happened. You've used and mismanaged that so that you're in debt. You're in deep debt, you're underwater, and you just think to yourself, how could I possibly be generous with anything if I don't have anything? If I need more to get my head above water? Well, Luke chapter 21, there's a story of someone who most would say did not have much or really anything at all, but was generous and had this generous mindset. So let's look at Luke chapter 21. And it's this. Verse 1 starts, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So now we have this widow who Jesus, I guess the scene is in the temple. They're all bringing their offerings and they're seeing rich people bring and put in and put in and put in. And it was evidently way more than two copper coins. And they were putting in and putting in. And Jesus says, well, look, here is the person who's truly given everything. Even though it's way less than anything else anyone has given, she has truly given everything to the Lord. She's given all that she had. Well, here's the thing. When we look at this passage, we say to ourselves, well, she gave everything? What would that look like if I gave everything? Answer that question. What would it look like if you gave everything? Then you're thinking to yourself, well, why in the world would I give everything? Then you have to ask yourself, why in the world did this woman, this poor widow, give everything? And what I would like to suggest is this widow's mindset was different. She had a generous mindset, but how did she cultivate that generous mindset? Because when we look at her situation and we see that she gave everything, how did she become so generous? Because I would argue and say she probably spent most of her life poor. So now why all of a sudden is she generous? Or why was she generous? Or is she poor because she was generous? What's going on here? Well, here's the next thing that we have to believe. And I believe we have to believe this. I should not trust in wealth. This is probably the most difficult thing that we can take in. I should not trust in wealth. This woman's mindset was this: God will provide when I put him first and I put his will first. That's what this woman's mindset was. I trust in God to provide for my needs. So if God's calling me to give, then I will give. So many times, having a mindset of generosity is squelched because we're afraid that if we give what we have, we will not have enough for our own needs, okay? A mindset of generosity is squelched because if we give what we have, we won't have enough for our own needs. But what's happening to us is this. It becomes a mindset of fear and a mindset of doubt, and it starts to take root. Because the truth of the matter is this. Maybe you or I have trust issues. Your investments are doing well. Your savings account's growing. Your pay raise came in. Your Christmas bonus came in. Whatever it is, and it makes you feel very comfortable. And you think to yourself, nothing can possibly happen to me because my finances are in line. Now, I can easily let anyone in this room that has lost somebody very close to them to answer that question. Can something happen to you when your finances are in line? Of course they can. So here's what happens now. We look at our life and we start to trust in the possessions that we have and feel comfort from those things. So I want to look at 1 Timothy 6, if you would with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is the last passage I'll ask you to turn to this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says to direct these people in his church this way. He says, as for the rich in this present age, and some of you are saying, sweet, he's not talking to me. I'm not rich, okay? As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So let's just stop right there. He's saying, okay, to the rich, don't be haughty. Don't uselessly use money. And you know what? Everybody's going to define that differently, so I'm not even going to get into trying to define that for you. But use your finances wisely. Don't use them frivolously. So then he says, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. I said this last week and I'll say it again. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can lose your job. You can lose your investments. You can lose the life that you built for you. Why? Because it's uncertain. It's uncertain. I mean, there's no certainty in that. There's no guarantees in the things that we have. But then he goes this, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Remember last week I said, God is the giver of good gifts. Why did he give us good gifts? To enjoy. That's good news, isn't it? The Bible never says that riches are evil or you should never do anything. You should go live on some island with a robe on and never have stuff, okay? The Bible never says that. Some people decide to do that and hey, you know what? If that's what you're called to do. But here's the point. He's saying God's blessing can come through riches. Then he goes on and he says they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be what? Generous and ready to share. So he's saying, here's what the mindset of a person who has should be. You should be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, willing to let go of what God has blessed you with. And then he goes on to say this, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future retirement plan, so that you can live in a nice place and never work again. Is that what it says? No, okay. The Bible doesn't say you're not allowed to do that, but what it does say is for a future foundation so that they might take hold of that which is truly life. And now we're taught all our life, right? Work, 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 and then you can reap the benefits of it. And I'm not saying that's not true, but what this passage is actually saying is storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future so that they might take hold of that which is truly life. Listen, this is talking about spiritual things, eternal life, but not only that, the eternal life, the treasures we store up in heaven, but not only that, he's saying when you're a generous person and when you live like this, you'll truly live while you're here on earth. Okay, let me say that again. You'll truly live while you're here on earth. Has anybody ever followed Dave Ramsey at all? Dave Ramsey, the financial, he's on like 400 different radio stations. If you want teaching on finances, Dave Ramsey is kind of like the number one guy these days to go to. His website's like daveramsey.com or something like that. Here's what Dave Ramsey teaches in a nutshell. If you have debt, get rid of the debt. Pay down the debt. Get rid of the debt. Then he says, like, you know, set yourself up, work through your finances, give generously. But then his bottom line is this. Make yourself financially free so you can be more generous. Okay? Is that what our society says? No. Okay, so here's what him, and he uses these as illustrations just because he can. He wrote a bunch of books. He has this huge ministry, and God has blessed him immensely. So he says, you know, my wife and I will go into like Waffle House and get breakfast. And then he's like, we go and get the breakfast, it's like $20. We'll leave like a $400 tip. Then we go and sit in the car and watch the woman walk and see the $400 tip. And he says, you know what? He's like, I'm looking at it like this. If she's working at Waffle House, she really needs the money. She's working hard. She's doing what she needs to do. So I want the joy of seeing the smile on her face by giving her $400 tip. And, you know, some people might not agree with that, but he's saying, hey, you know what? We love it. He's like, for me and my wife, it's like a game. We laugh. We watch these people, and we're just so happy to be generous like that. And I would suggest that he's applying this scripture. He's truly living. He's saying, hey, you know, what's more fun to do with your money than bless somebody who doesn't have much at all, or is working hard. Maybe it's a single mom trying to support her 3 or 4 kids. Who knows? Maybe it's a young girl trying to get through college. Who knows who it is? But he's saying, hey, you know what? I want to be a blessing. I want to truly live. See, we have to remember, riches are not evil. And sometimes blessings come through the riches, but they're a direct result of us having a generous mindset, okay? Let me just say that again. The riches will come as a direct result of having a generous mindset because God sees a generous person and says, okay, you know what? That money's safe there because it's not staying there. That person's going to be generous with it. Listen to Proverbs 11:24. It says this, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. What in the world is that all about? Okay, giving freely, but then more blessings come, but withholding and only suffering want. Let's go back to our buddy Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay, did he truly live? He had all that money. He was a miser. He was rich. Did he truly live? No. Not until the ghost came and scared him. Okay, and now he's like, man, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to give this out so that I don't continue to suffer. Was he suffering financially? No. How was he suffering? He was suffering relationally, wasn't he? Nobody liked him. Why? Because he was greedy. He was greedy. He wasn't generous. It doesn't mean you have to have a lot of money to be generous. It's a mindset. It's a heart issue that you're dealing with. See, some of us, though, we have a problem with this. And here's the problem. We want to hold on because it's hard for us to trust God in this. It's hard for us to trust God in sacrificially giving, and being generous. It's hard because we trust that stuff. And when we see our bank account going up and we see our bills getting paid off, we feel comfortable. So we trust that. But what God is saying is, no, trust me. But I believe that all of us here know how to trust him in that way. Do you know why? Because those of us who have trusted in him for salvation know what it's like to trust in Jesus. See, if you've come to the point in your life where you realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ is that Savior. And the Bible tells us if we believe that he died and rose again, we will be saved. We will inherit eternal life. So if you've trusted in Jesus, you know how to trust him. So you trust him for your salvation, eternal life. And I think that's a little more important than your finances, I think. Okay? It's a little more important than your finances. So you've trusted him that way. So why not say, you know what? I'm going to trust him with what I have. I'm going to trust him with what I have. Is he asking you to give it all away like the widow did? Not necessarily. Maybe. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. That's how you have to pray to the Lord to find out what he wants you to be generous with. But we know that God is generous with us. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus generously gave us his life for our sins. But notice, the joy that was set before him. You know who that joy was? Us. You know why he did that? Because it brought him joy to die to provide salvation for us. Which really brings us to our next point, and that's what we have to believe is this. I believe I should be happy to be generous. See, Jesus, it brought him joy to be generous and give his life for us. And I would argue that when you give your life, you're giving everything. So we should be happy to be generous. But maybe for some of us, we have contentment issues. Much of the time, we're trying to make ourselves happy. Much of the times, we're trying to make ourselves content. So stuff is what we acquire, right? I want this car. I want this house. I want these things. I want this pay raise. I want this more attitude. So we think that these things are going to make us happy and content. And then when we're pursuing those things, we think to ourselves, well, if I'm trying to accrue things to make myself happy and content, it doesn't even make sense to give away anything, because that surely can't make me happy or content because I'm trying to get those things. So why in the world would I give them away? That's kind of dumb. That's how we think. And our mindset's kind of messed up. For some of you, the thought of being generous actually makes you uncomfortable. Even worse, it makes you critical and angry. Maybe right now you came into our church and you thought to yourself, I knew it. This is what churches are all about. They're all about my money. That's all they want. Bah, humbug, okay? That's what you're thinking. Well, we had you in mind. We had you in mind. And here's what we did. Over a year ago, some of you might notice this, and some of you who are new here are waiting. Like, where's the time where they pass the plate? Or better yet, have the plate on the pole and then whack you on the head if you don't give anything, okay? Where is that time? We got rid of it. What? We got rid of it. There's a box on the wall in the foyer, and there's a box on the wall in the back of the sanctuary. We, as a leadership, felt, you know what? We don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. We don't want anyone to feel obligated when they give to the Lord. Because we believe that people who really have a mindset of generosity will give to the work of the Lord, because the Lord calls us to do. The Lord commands us to do that. So you know what? Interestingly enough, contrary to popular belief, people that we asked and talked to said, well, if you don't pass the plate, you're going to get less money. You know how when you come in, you check that bulletin that's like literally a two-sided half a sheet of paper? Not much info on it, right? There's some things. What's one of the things you look at? And I know you do this. How are we doing financially, right? since we have placed those boxes on the wall and not passed the plate, guess what you've seen and I've seen? We've always been over budget. God has always provided for this church, and it's through your generosity. So as a leadership, we made that decision, and here's why. In the scriptures, it says this in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And guess what? If you're mean and angry and don't want to give to the work of the Lord, don't, okay? We don't want it. He doesn't want it. Keep it in your pocket. Bah, humbug yourself to death. And here's the thing. It's not important, okay? It's not important because God wants your heart. He wants your mindset. He wants you to look and be generous because he loves a cheerful giver. And guess what? I would argue this. When you actually put the Lord first in your finances, when you set your budget up and put him first in your finances, he makes you a cheerful giver. He puts that joy inside your heart, and you're gladly giving that to the Lord and his work. Because all the giving goes to the Lord and his work. Let me just tell you, especially if you're new here or if you don't really know, this church is fully supported by the generosity of the people in this church. We have nobody else that gives us money. We can't call anybody up and say we're in trouble here at Fork It River Baptist Church. We need some funds to bail us out. Nothing. Everything comes from the generosity of the people in the church. And I just want to tell you, as a pastor, I want to thank you because you are generous people. And I know that you'll continue to be generous people. Your mindsets have changed into that generosity. But you know what? We need to know that our mindsets have to continue. This is a thing that we need to continue to think about in our lives. So when we give, we know we're giving to the work of the Lord, but it's for the benefit of other people. So when you give to this church, here's what happens. We have a bunch of missionaries. About 10% of our budget goes towards those missionaries that do the work of the Lord. We have all the programs and all the things that we do for in the church for the benefit of people. And that's what makes the next thing so important for us to believe. We need to believe this, that people are more important than possessions. People are more important than possessions. Let's look at Proverbs 22:16. I'll read that to you. It says this, whoever oppresses the poor increases his own wealth, or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. So here's what he's saying. People are very important. And whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth and give to the rich will only cause himself poverty. Maybe you're an employer. Maybe you have people working under you. And the bottom line just seems to be your finances. The bottom line seems to be your finances, and you're treating your workers not the right way. Maybe for you, you spend more time and energy on accruing things than you do with your family and the people around you. This is difficult, okay? This is difficult, right? Because we all have to pay the bills, right? But if you're, especially if you're a young parent, you need to know, talk to any of the empty nesters in this room. What will they say to you? It flies. It goes so quick. Do you want to stand on the end of your kid's graduation or anything and say, you know what? It's been great because I was at work all the time making all this money and having all this extra stuff, so I didn't spend time with you. None of us want that. Okay, so we have to navigate our life and just say, you know what? The people around me are more important than possessions. Maybe God is saying to you, you know what? You have that job offer and you'll make more money, but you're going to be less time with your family. Maybe he's saying, you know what? Have less money and more time with your family. I don't know what that is that you've been praying about, but here's what you have to remember. People are more important than possessions. And here's what happens. Maybe you start to feel like your stuff is more important than the people around you. And here might be some of the reasons why. You look at your stuff and you're like, you know what? My stuff doesn't talk back. My stuff doesn't annoy me around the holidays. Okay? My stuff doesn't complain to me or about me. And you start to look at your stuff and you value that stuff. And it's important to you. And then you become this person that like isolates yourself and doesn't really want to be around people because you can't control them and whatever it might be. But you have to remember, your stuff isn't created in the image of God. People are. So people are more important than possessions. And here's what brings us to the next thing that we need to believe is this. We need to believe that when I'm generous, it is through Jesus. People are always going to be the beneficiaries of our generosity, aren't they? When we give to the Lord, it actually works out for the people, doesn't it? When we give to the work of the Lord, it works out. Everything we do in this church is to benefit the cause of Jesus, but it benefits people. If somebody comes into our church and becomes a Christian, it literally changes their life. And then the whole trajectory of their entire life and their family's life and everything is changed because of that decision they made to trust in Jesus. So when you give to the work of the Lord, here's what happens. It's a benefit to people. So what you have to do is say, you know what? I'm being generous to the Lord, and the people are going to be the beneficiaries. So now we look and see Proverbs 19:17. It says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for that deed. Now, when we're generous to others, the Lord is pleased, and he'll take care of our generosity. We're so afraid to let go, but when he's saying, if you do it on behalf of me, just let go. He's like, I'm going to take care of you. You know, some of us struggle with this, and this is why the church is so important, because we think, I want to be generous, I want to help other people, but I don't know where it's going. I mean, granted, any of us can drive up an hour and a half or an hour and a half west to Philly or an hour and a half north to New York City, and you can go there with a couple hundred bucks in your pocket and find homeless people strewn across the streets, and you can give out $100 bills, okay? Would that be the best thing to do? Maybe for that person, you might think, but you don't know what you're supporting, their heroin addiction, buying another bottle, whatever it might be. You might be supporting something that's actually not helping them, but it's actually hurting them. So the church is a vehicle to disperse those funds so that not only are the needs met, but what's the biggest need the people in our community have? Anyone know? They need Jesus, okay? They need Jesus. They don't necessarily need a hot meal. They need Jesus. They might need a hot meal, but you know what? If we're going to give them a hot meal, we tell them about Jesus too. Because that's the most important thing to remember. So when we're generous, it needs to be in view of Jesus. So if you have a problem with other people and have a hard time being generous toward them, your mindset has to say this, I'm doing it on behalf of Jesus. Our mindsets get so messed up, right? Those people don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. This is mine. Why should I give that? Why should I help that way? And you know what? It will continue to go on and go on. But you know, we have to have this mindset. You know, I'm doing it in view of the Lord. The Lord loves me, and I want to show that love to other people. So this Christmas, here's what we're going to do. This Christmas season, some of you might have heard already, we used to host Toys for Tots here. For some reason, they're not covering our area for Toys for Tots. So we lost that. It was kind of a bummer. I got the call. They said they're not doing this area. If you go on Toys for Tots website, it says area not covered. Nothing under our control. But we always did that. So, you know, as a leadership, we talked and we prayed, and we really felt led to help some people. And more specifically, we want to help some people that are in our church congregation. And those people will remain anonymous. You won't know who those people are. But here's what we want to do. Next Sunday in the foyer, we're going to have another box. We like boxes, okay? They work. So we're going to have another box in the middle of the foyer, and it's just really to bless families at Christmas. We don't know how much is going to come in. We do have some families in mind. We might add some families to that. But if you want to be generous this Christmas and bless a family, you're going to put money in that box. And then we're going to disperse that to those families in need. Whether they use it for Christmas presents or to pay the bills, it doesn't matter. It's all a wash, right? But we want to give you an opportunity to be generous. But even more importantly than that, we want to be a great testimony to the people in our fellowship, to our community. Because here's what happens. Imagine just for a second that you are in a situation that you never expected to be in. And I know a lot of you have been in these situations before. Never expected to be in. Not really knowing how you're going to pay the next bill. Not really knowing how you're going to provide for your family. And one day, somebody comes and knocks on your door. Hey, from your church, just wanted to bless you with this Christmas. How would you feel? How would you feel? And I can tell you this, there are people that have been recipients of that type of giving in our church, and guess what? You know what they come? They're changed. They're like, I just want to pay it forward. I want to do that for other people. That helped me at a time when I just needed it. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do? And that came. So if you've been a recipient of that, you know what that feels like. But if you haven't, just imagine. Just imagine what you have right now, your comfort, and everything is compromised. And the Lord lays it upon the heart of his believers to come alongside you. So we want to give you that opportunity next week. We want to give you that opportunity. So when we believe these five things, I think we can develop a mindset of gratitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you for this church. I thank you for the generosity throughout the many, many years in the past, and I know throughout the many years to come. You've just blessed us so much, and we want to continue to bless your work. And we know that when we let go and we trust you rather than our things, that you have a way of continuing to bless and continuing to prosper us and continuing to help us through the times and meet our needs as your word says. So I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to do that. I pray that our mindsets would change, that every thought would become obedient to you. I pray, Lord, importantly this morning, that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that's trusting in their good works or trusting in their giving or trusting in anything else besides your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, I pray this morning, Lord, that they would believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please rise.